Do any of these sound familiar?
How can you believe in a God who slaughters people in the Old Testament? How can you believe in a six-day creation when the evolution is so obviously true? Noah's Ark is just a story. You don't really believe that, do you? What, Jesus' mum was a virgin? Really? So Jesus is going to come back on a cloud and decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? That's crazy.
I bet this is one of the biggest challenges you face in telling other people about Jesus. They don't believe the Bible is true or reliable. Sure, they'll listen to your personal story of faith and maybe even come to a church service or two. But resistance to the faith comes back to the same old issue. The Bible just isn't reliable or true. It's the stuff of myths and legends and made-up stories. And it's really hard to defend the Bible against those kinds of accusations, especially when deep in your heart, you might feel a bit confused by it as well. What do we do with all those Old Testament laws? What do we do with passages that tell us that women have to remain silent in church? What do we do with passages that tell us it's okay to keep slaves? What does it mean to say that the Bible is true? By the end of our time together today, you will know the answer to those questions, and you will have complete confidence when you say to people, the Bible is true. Here's what's coming up. First, I want to outline what truth actually is. Secondly, I want to think about in what sense the Bible is true. And then thirdly, I want to give you four tips on how to discover the truth within the Bible. So work with me through this, and I guarantee that your understanding of the Bible will be far more deep and far more rich by the time we've finished. Welcome to the Faith in the Busy World podcast with me, Steve Griffiths. So let's start by asking a really fundamental question. What is truth? It's a loaded question, right? It's like the ultimate quest that has captured the hearts and the minds of people since the beginning of time. It's the question that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus in John 18, verse 38. And if you can get your head around what truth actually is, then you will be far better positioned to understand how the Bible is true. But a warning, truth isn't a simple concept. And I think there's three ideas about truth that we need to understand if we're going to answer the question, is the Bible true? So what are those three ideas? Let's dive straight in. Firstly, there's what we might call subjective truth. Our experiences in life shape how we see the world around us, and our beliefs about what is true are shaped by those experiences. Let me give you a slightly silly example. Every time I hear the second lead guitar break in Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb, it gives me goosebumps. Now, I'm a musician and a singer, and I know what I like. And because of my subjective experience of that second lead guitar break, I would happily argue the case with anyone that it's one of the finest examples of brilliant musicianship, and Dave Gilmour is probably the greatest guitarist who's ever lived. You might not be into Pink Floyd or prog rock, you might be into country music instead, and you'd say to me, no way, Steve, you've got to be listening to Chet Atkins if you want to hear some really brilliant guitar playing. So who's right and who's wrong? What's true here? Is Dave Gilmour the greatest guitarist ever, or is Chet Atkins the greatest guitarist ever? Truth is subjective here. What may be true for me may not be true for you. We both have our own truths born out of our own context and our own personal experiences. And subjective truth doesn't work just on an individual level either. It works for societies and cultural groups as well. For example, some cultures might believe that democracy is an ideal worth striving for. Other cultures see democracy as a bad system, and living in autocracy provides a far more stable government. Which is true? It's a subjective opinion based on cultural context. So with subjective truth, experience and context shapes our belief. Secondly, as well as subjective truth, there's also what we call objective truth. Now, this is an idea that truth can exist independently of our own personal biases and experiences. And to a large extent, the ordering of civilization is founded on the existence of objective truth. Gravity, the fact that 2 plus 2 equals 4, the existence of death, these are all examples of objective truths that shape the way the world is. But here's the thing. Even objective truth can change and evolve. Think about it. There was a time when the objective truth was that the Earth was flat. But through scientific discovery, we now know the objective truth that the world is actually round. And objective truth is also influenced by the power structures within society as well. Those in control have the ability to control truth because they control the media, legislation, and the moral compass of the world. So in essence, both subjective and objective truths are constantly evolving and changing. Truth is like a dynamic force shaped by the development of knowledge, the deepening of our experiences, and the shifting power structures within society. But is there a notion of truth that exists beyond subjective and objective truth? A sort of meta-truth, an overarching truth, a truth that is completely unchanging for all eternity. Well, this third idea of truth is actually at the heart of most religious systems of thought, and certainly at the heart of Christianity. As Christians, we believe in the unchangeable truth, for example, that God is unchanging. We hold to moral absolutes that are true for all time and unchangeable. We believe that the Word of God is true and unchanging for all generations. And most fundamental of all, we believe in Jesus Christ, who described himself as the way, the truth, and the life. So three ideas about truth: subjective truth that is shaped by personal experience and cultural context, objective truth that exists independently of personal experience and cultural context, and thirdly, what we would call universal truth that exists eternally beyond all time and space. So having defined truth in these three ways, we can now ask the question, is everything in the Bible true? Well, to put it simply, yes, everything in the Bible is true, but it depends which definition of truth you're working with. And the arguments and divisions between Christians is not so much because we disagree that things are true or not. The arguments and divisions tend to be because we're working with different definitions of truth. Let's go into that a bit deeper. Firstly, let's talk about genre, because this is absolutely key. Genre, in our context, is a style of writing or a literary category, and there are lots of different genre of writing in the Bible. For example, there's history that tells about the experiences of peoples and nations and gives a timeline for these. There's poetry and wisdom writings like the Psalms and the Proverbs. There's prophecy and apocalyptic literature like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and the Book of Revelation. There's parables and allegories and stories about fictional characters and fictional situations. There are laws, particularly in the Old Testament, that are there to regulate ethical, ceremonial, and social behavior. There are letters written by early Christians like Peter and Paul and John. And each genre of writing in the Bible has a different intended purpose. And not only does it have a different intended purpose, it also often contains a different type of truth too. So let's think about some examples. 1 and 2 Kings are history. We know the kings lived, we know their timeline, and so on one level, there's an objective truth here about these parts of scripture. But there's also universal truth in these books of the Bible, because embedded within them are theological and moral messages that are unchanging for all time. Things like the importance of putting God first in our lives, the importance of building just and fair societies, and so on. The books of poetry convey human emotions. So on one level, these are subjective truths, speaking of how the writer feels about God in that moment. But there's also universal truth in these as well, because the subjective emotions they express are common to all human beings throughout all time. They're not objective historical truths, but they provide us with truth about human experience and spirituality and ethics. Prophetic and apocalyptic writings employ imagery and symbolism and visionary language to describe future events and spiritual realities and the divine plan. So these are subjective truths about dreams and visions that the writers had. But there's also a universal truth in all of these, because they speak about realities beyond space and time. Parables and allegories are clearly not historically or objectively true. They're made up stories. But there is a universal truth in these, because they unveil deep realities about God and human relationships and the kingdom of heaven. The New Testament letters provide theological explanations and guidance that are objectively true for the context into which they're written. But there's also a universal truth that runs through these, because they give teachings that are unchangeably true for all humanity throughout history. The Old Testament laws are objectively true in that they outline how society should be governed coherently. But there's also universal truth in the laws, because they provide us with unchangeable principles that should underpin all just and equitable societies. So here's the thing that binds the whole Bible together in terms of truth. Some parts of the Bible are subjectively true. Some parts of the Bible are objectively true. Some parts of the Bible are both subjectively and objectively true. Some parts of the Bible are neither subjectively nor objectively true. But all parts of the Bible contain universal truth that speaks to all human beings in every culture, in every moment of time, forever. I like to think of it like this. There's a difference between truths in the plural with a small t and truth in the singular with a capital T. Subjective and objective truths with a small t are found in various places in the Bible. But universal truth with a capital T is found in every verse in Scripture. So, is the Bible true? Yes. Absolutely. But keep watching, because this is where the problem starts. When it comes to interpreting the Bible, we need to try to work out what type of truth we're dealing with in any given passage of Scripture. And that's not always easy to do. Let's think about a few examples that have puzzled Christians throughout the centuries. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 12, Paul writes this, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet." Is that an objective truth relating to the culture of the day? Or is that a universal truth that stands forever? Or is there, contained within the objective truth, a universal truth about the need for order and structure in the church? A universal truth that may be worked out differently today than it was in the first century. Exodus 20, verse 11. "In 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth." Is this a historical, objective truth about how the world was made? Or is this a universal truth expressed through a metaphor that tells us about the creative power of God? Leviticus 11, verse 7 to 8 says this, "The pig is unclean for you. You must not eat its meat." Is that an objective truth just for the people of Israel at the time? Or is it a universal truth that all Christians shouldn't eat pork? Or is there a different universal truth within the objective truth about the need for God's people to remain separate and pure and holy for God? You get the point. There are different forms of truth, and we need to try to work out what form of truth we're looking at whenever we read a passage of Scripture. And it seems to me that most of the divisions in the church today and most of the divisions between denominations is because we're reading passages in the Bible with a different understanding of the truth contained within it. The Bible says women must be silent, so therefore women can't be ordained. Really? The Bible says you have to be baptized to be saved, so therefore anyone who's not baptized won't go to heaven. Really? The Bible said God parted the Red Sea for Moses, so therefore it must have literally happened. Really? The Bible says Noah built an ark, so it must be true. Really? Yes, there is truth in all these parts of Scripture, but what type of truth? The ultimate question for us is this. How do we discover what truth looks like in any given passage of Scripture? Well, I want to give you 4 tips on how to navigate that question. Firstly, think about how the passage has been traditionally interpreted. Now, that may be the tradition of your church, or it may be the broader tradition of the church throughout history. Of course, there'll still be different interpretations for you to consider, but the weight of tradition may help you to come towards a conclusion. For example, Leviticus 25 verses 44 to 46 suggests that it's absolutely okay to keep slaves. But the tradition of the church, certainly in the last few hundred years, is that that is not a universal truth and that slavery is wrong. Tradition can inform your opinion on a passage. Secondly, use your reason when interpreting a Bible passage. For example, in Matthew 5, 29, Jesus says this, "If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away." Is this an objective truth for us to abide by, or is Jesus speaking metaphorically? Well, reason would suggest that this is a metaphor and not something that we should literally do. Thirdly, think about the context of the passage in the book in which it's set and also the whole of Scripture. The context can help you to understand what sort of truth you're looking for. So, for example, in Revelation 7, we read about the 144,000 people who are sealed as the people of God. Does this literally mean that only 144,000 people are going to heaven? Well, the context is important. The book of Revelation is a vision and a series of images within that vision which act as metaphors for deeper spiritual truths. It's not a book to be read as history in the same way that we would read the book of Acts. So the 144,000 is a representative number, not an actual number of those who are going to be saved. Finally, when you're trying to work out the truth of a passage of scripture, pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to inspire you and help you to interpret it. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus says this, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth." Now, that doesn't mean that we treat the Holy Spirit like a genie in the lamp and demand that he shows us what a passage means. We still need to play our part and use our reason and think about tradition and the context. But we do need the Holy Spirit to help us interpret the meaning of Scripture within our own context. Of course, there'll still be diverse opinions and different cultural contexts will apply Scripture differently. But that's just part of what it means to locate ourselves within the historic Christian tradition. So is everything in the Bible true? Yes, there is universal truth in every single passage of the Bible, and that universal truth interacts in some way with both objective truths and subjective truths. The genre, the literary context of the passage is crucial. The cultural context in which it was written and in which it's being read is crucial, but there is truth for us to discover. By applying tradition, reason, contextual analysis, and crucially prayer, the scriptures will lead us on a lifelong journey of discovery as we move ever deeper into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that relationship is lived out in the power of the Holy Spirit and made possible through Jesus, who described himself as the way, the truth, and the life. So next time you have a conversation with someone and they tell you the Bible isn't true, or they question the truth of some part of the Bible, you will now have the tools to go deeper with them to discover what truth looks like in that particular passage of scripture. So thanks for giving me your time today. I really hope that you found this podcast useful. If so, please do click the like button, subscribe to the channel, and I look forward to being with you again really soon. Bye-bye.